Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm delighted to have with me today in the studio for University Matters on Campus FM, Ms. Edel Kassar. Ms. Kassar is the CEO of the National Commission for Further and Higher Education, the acronym NCFHE, which lies within the Ministry for Education and Employment. The topic of our conversation today is mobility of students and how the Malta Qualifications Framework, being referenced to the European Qualifications Framework, can further assist students in looking for a job, not just locally, but also abroad. Ms. Kassar would like to explain to students and our other listeners the benefits that can be gained from this concept. Welcome, first of all, Ms. Kassar.
Thank you.
I'd like to just say a word about where you're coming from, so to speak, as I usually do on this program. Ms. Kassar is an educator by profession with an educational background in psychology, sociology, human resources and training. After following a Bachelor of Psychology and a postgraduate certificate at the University of Malta, Ms. Kassar furthered her studies through an MSc in training and human resources management at the University of Leicester, focusing mainly on vocational education and training systems, human resource management and transfer of training across cultures. Her work experience started off as a teacher and proceeded towards specialisation in EU projects, in particular funding, coordination, implementation and also various managerial duties. Ms. Kassar currently occupies, as I said, the post of Chief Executive Officer within the Commission for Further and Higher Education, which is the entity in Malta responsible for recognition, validation and accreditation of further and higher education. So, obviously, from that very short bio, it's very obvious that you're the perfect person to speak to us on this issue. Perhaps before going into the nitty-gritty of the qualification framework, perhaps you could just describe a little bit what the NCFHE is all about, what it does in general, why it's there.
So thank you very much. Hello to everyone. The NCFHE, despite its maybe tongue-twisting acronym, our main focus is, yes, the promotion of further and higher education in Malta, the validation of skills that a person might have gained throughout his life, recognition of qualifications that might be coming from overseas, as well as the accreditation of local entities and local study programs. Apart from these three quite substantial streams of work, we also have a small arm which does some research and policy recommendations for government to consider when carrying out policy implementation. Underpinning all our streams is communications, which is very important for us in terms of sending the message out there about which courses are good to follow, which courses are best in terms of accreditation status, how can persons find information about the recognized courses that are available overseas, or if there are options for validation of testing of skills that a person might have gained. So communication is a very important arm for us in terms of reaching and sending the messages out there that are important for our entity. Our target audience remains the student, so our main focus is the student and the service that we give to the student. They are our ultimate target, because in between we deal with education institutions who want to or who offer education services in Malta, both local entities as well as international entities who want to open up shop in Malta. It is very important that there is adherence to what we call the Malta Qualifications Framework, as well as what we call the referencing exercise that has taken place in Malta. The strength of the Malta Qualifications Framework remains not only the fact that it regulates Malta provision and how we talk of education in Malta, but the fact that it links it to the international sphere, and that is the strength of the referencing. The referencing allows the Malta qualifications framework and all qualifications that are pegged onto the framework to be able to speak to other frameworks and other countries, not only European ones, but also other international countries. We have, for example, reference to the transnational qualifications framework, which links all the small Commonwealth countries, as well as, say, South African countries. And this is important for the Maltese framework, because despite being a small country, it means that it is linked. It opens up all these doors for our students, and that's why we say that ultimately it is the student who is benefiting from the concept of the Malta Qualifications Framework. The framework itself is an 8-level framework, very similar to the European framework, where we have other frameworks like the Scottish or the English framework, which have 12 or 11 or 10 levels. We have the referencing framework, the referencing concept then maps out these different frameworks. And we know that, as, for example, a level 4 in the UK would be a level 3 in Malta. And that exercise has already taken place. Anybody approaching the Commission with a qualification from other countries is actually encouraged to come to the Commission and check the level rating of the qualifications that they are bringing with them to work in Malta or to further their studies in Malta. I cannot not help saying that whoever is interested in following further education or higher education, we encourage people to always check before they start. Whenever somebody's trying to buy a car, they will always test it. And you're going to spend a lot of money on your education, and it's important that you choose the right study program. And study programs that are accredited on the Malta framework. Once they are accredited on the Malta framework, they will give you sort of their gateway to all the other frameworks and all the other countries, wherever you want them to either continue your studies or then eventually work in other countries.
I suppose there has been this enormous growth in students wanting to further their studies, students that they know they can take a BA here, and many of them do, mm-hmm. even a master's and some PhD, if you can yes. find the right supervisor. However, there are over 3,000 graduates at the University of Malta and other institutions, and I suppose the work of your office has become more and more necessary, as so many of these students for whom a BA might have been the ultimate 10 years ago, now obviously are looking further afield.
Yes, yes, and that is important. The concept of lifelong learning and the concept of a knowledge society is very important for Malta. Malta depends on its human resources, and not only on the Maltese, but even the foreigners who live in Malta. It's crucial that our workforce remains as knowledgeable as possible, and that the Maltese context offers the right learning opportunities. And we strive always to make sure that those people who want to further the studies are able to make an informed choice. And in fact, our website contains a lot of information about different courses that are accredited, where they can find more information about qualifications in other countries. So it's important, and there is an encouragement, a drive from our end to make sure that people do not come to us after they finish, but come to us before they start, so that they invest their money and their time, at least profitably, so that their qualifications are eventually, they can be used properly and recognized properly. Because afterwards, there's a lot of frustration in individuals who don't own qualifications that are recognized.
I suppose a lot of students now are opting for the online mm-hmm. university degree. And there as well, I suppose, they're spending quite a lot of money on that, mm-hmm. even if they're not actually going to the university. But they need to be absolutely sure that they're spending that money with profit at the end of the day.
We have to be very careful about online education. The availability of online learning is wide and varied and fruitful. Let's say any learning is fruitful. But for an online program to be accredited and for it to be therefore then recognized, it's important that a person who wants to follow that education first comes to our offices to check whether that is a valid program to follow. If it's just for fun, if I'm just learning something for my own sake, then that's fine. You know, it's very important that everybody keeps updated in whatever anything they want to do. But if the interest is to have a recognized qualification, it's important that one checks about it. Online education exists, but it's not yet regulated as it should. This is a strive that Malta and even some other European countries are doing to be able to quality assure the online provision. It's something that Malta is currently facing as a challenge, and our entity is facing it as a challenge in order for us to be able to accredit online provision. and not only accredited, but create a QA framework around the online provision. And that's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. So for the time being, my only recommendation would be to double check and triple check before you actually sign up and pay up for any online education, unless it is for your own personal interest, where I want to understand crochet or whether I want to understand how I make cocktails to be able to, you know, just for my own interest.
Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be academic and you're hoping then that it's going important. To help you in your career, then
exactly. Then it's important that sure. one checks, yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
You mentioned the European qualifications framework and then that there are certain differences in the UK, and I know the Scottish system is again different
yes.
from the UK, but that's not a problem for our students.
At all. There is a conversion table that has taken place during our referencing process, and we know exactly where a Scottish qualification, a particular level, where it lies on the European qualifications framework and therefore on the Malta qualifications framework. So that is no problem at all.
And these students that we're talking about aren't just going to Europe, are they? They're going to as far afield as Australia.
Yes, Australia is another context completely. What is interesting, however, is that other continents, in this case, places like Australia, Hong Kong, South Africa, they're looking at Europe for referencing, because they've seen the model grow across Europe and they've seen European countries wanting to reference against the European qualifications framework. And now there are other continents who want to reference against the European qualifications framework. So it's not individual countries, but a whole continent. And at the moment, they are not. So what we can say is that they are possibly comparable to qualifications, to our framework, or to a particular level. But we cannot definitely say that they totally fit in a particular level. So what Australia and Hong Kong and South Africa are currently doing, they're talking at European level, so to the European Commission, to be able to reference officially. And that's a whole process that has to take place before we can officially say, yes, this is acceptable on the Malta framework. So there's a cascading effect in.
One of the things I noticed, if I understood correctly from what I was reading, is that if people, for example, want to take up a job in Australia, mm-hmm. then the Australians actually do look very seriously at the framework yes. levels, and actually they give points to people
the Australian
kind of skilled workers yes. that they really want.
The Australian system is actually very organized in this regard. The job vacancies that exist, they have priority areas of where different possible employees, different type of sectors where they want to attract workers to come to Australia. And then they assign points, yes, as you were correctly saying, to different categories of qualifications that the person is going to bring with them. That yes, it's very true. And I'm happy to say that the European qualifications framework is very, very highly regarded. So therefore,
that was the impression I got.
Yes,
that
and
it is used as a benchmark.
It is used as a benchmark, although Europe is one of perhaps the smallest continents that other continents are using the success of the European qualifications framework to be able to benchmark against that. I mean, Europe, thank God, we have been the hub of education for the world in a way. And therefore, the other continents and the other countries do look at the European experience for the qualifications framework.
So you have the Qualifications Recognition Information Centre. So what is the specific work of that centre?
The centre looks at qualifications from two angles, both as a prospective as well as somebody who owns the qualification, somebody who has already been conferred the qualification. We are able to give information both online, so somebody who's able to actively look for information to be able to determine whether the qualification, either the one that they hold or the one they're going to undertake, whether that is recognized or not. If there is a need for an official statement from our end that indicates that a prospective qualification is recognized, if perhaps they're seeking a scholarship grant, therefore they need a statement that yes, this qualification in question is recognized, we can issue such a statement. There is a whole application process that takes place. The applications are available online. It's important that prospective qualifications can be submitted online via an email, whereas the qualifications that are already conferred by the individuals, they need to come to our office with the original certificate. Obviously, a certain original certificate should never leave your own hands. Therefore, they need to bring the original with them, bring a copy, and then submit the request for us to assess the qualification that they have in hand. That, unfortunately, it takes about 3 to 4 months for something like this to be checked. If we have already seen the qualification in question, it will take much, much much less time. But if it's a fresh qualification, if it's a new qualification we've never seen, or if it's coming from a country where either they have no qualifications framework, or else where the country has no QA framework in place, it makes it always harder. Therefore, then we need to come in contact with the education department of other countries for them to tell us and to indicate at which level such a qualification would take place. When we go into the status of the entity that is conferring that qualification to see if they have an internal QA system in place, and then if there is a national QA system in place, to be able to make sure that the qualification of the person holds really matches up to the Malta qualifications framework. Unfortunately, when it's not a pleasure of us to tell anyone that their qualifications are not recognized, and it's always painful for anybody on the receiving end of our statements. But we cannot not say that's our role, to indicate whether the qualification is really and truly, whether that can really be compared to the Malta qualifications framework.
The benchmarking itself, it must be a process that you go through. You've said that you check whether there's an internal qualification system, but it must be quite difficult to actually measure. I can't imagine quite how you go about actually measuring or comparing. What kind of benchmarks do you use?
The concept of the learning outcomes framework, that's what we use. So we check the content of the qualification, whether it matches to the learning outcomes that we have established in Malta. The ones established in Malta mirror the ones at European level, and then that makes sort of the qualification in question then readable across all European member states. So that's why it's important that each country that is referenced to the EQF does the same due diligence sort of at entry level into sort of our network. We check the learning outcomes, so their qualification in question really matches up to the learning outcomes, say at level 5, level 6, level 7. The importance of the QA frameworks is crucial, I think. It is the backbone, and it is what makes the EQF and the MQF so highly regarded. Let's focus a bit on the QA aspect. I wanted to mention that in Malta we have quite a solid QA framework, and thank God our public entities that take about 85-84% of all our students, they have very solid QA frameworks in place. And the three main entities in further and higher education, that is MCAS University and the ITS, they have their own internal QA frameworks, their own internal QA systems, which give reassurance to the commission, to us, to be able to carry out external QA visits. The three self-accrediting institutions, that is how they gain their self-accrediting status. It means that the university, the MCAS and ITS, has the possibility to assign itself the level rating without the need to consult with the commission beforehand. The QA framework is checked every 5 years. This is where then policy dialogue comes in place, comes into force. There is a constant contact between the QA departments, like the UpCrew and the other entities have their own QA departments.
UpCrew is the one I know about because it's university, and I know that they make the academic jump through many hoops before actually.
The UpCrew carries out that kind of job with the academics within university. The NCFHE does that job with the rest. So we make the others go through the hoops as well. So it's important, and that's why it's important that UpCrew are aware, and they are very well actually, they are aware of the national framework, of the national QA framework, so that we are all using one yardstick to determine the quality of education, whether it's internal to the university, as well as internal to the other two self-accrediting institutions, but also internal to all the other institutions offering further and higher education in Malta, those that are obviously referenced to the framework.
In fact, I know that on the transcripts that our students receive, I have a sample in front of me, a specimen of a Bachelor of Science Honours, and they actually have MQF level, in this case it's 6.
Yes.
If it were a Master's, I believe it would be 7, and if it were a Doctorate,
it would be 8. Yes.
So they actually have it on their transcript, which is something that then they can take and show to
somebody who has on their transcript the MQF level already stated, they don't even need to come to the NCFHE to get it checked out. It's an automatic process. They don't need to come to us, whereas others who hold qualifications that do not indicate on the certificate or on the diploma septum or on the transcript, where it doesn't indicate at which level that qualification sits, then those are they are important that they come to us to check out the qualifications in question. Mm-hmm. What I would recommend, perhaps as we're talking, is that instead of just saying MQF level, for it to be more readable when a student takes that qualification to another country, is that you would say EQF stroke MQF, and that would make it a bit more readable to whoever is on the receiving end. Because mm-hmm. not necessarily all countries would automatically understand what MQF stands for. EQF, we all know what it yes. is.
So when you have this recognition of the qualification itself, of course, in different countries, this is a recognition of an academic qualification.
Yes.
When it comes to mobility of workers, this doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be able to use that level to work. There's a warrant system in many different countries. We have warrant systems here in Malta. People who already have qualifications here might need to do further work study yes. in the country that they want to work in.
It is a system that is still being developed. At European level, there is the ongoing promotion of the European Professional Card system. It's a card system that is currently being debated on how it's going to be implemented across all member states. To put it in a nutshell and perhaps in a very simplistic manner, is if I'm warranted as a teacher, my card, I actually have a card that says that I'm a teacher, a warranted teacher, I can use that card or something similar to it, yeah, that I can use in other member states for me to carry out my profession. There's always a lot of dialogue that is going on between member states for all member states, obviously, to accept how other countries are warranting their professions, their professionals. And there's always an element of dialogue that needs to take place for trust to be built. Mobility of workers is extremely important for Europe, especially once we are facing a situation of high unemployment in certain areas and perhaps less unemployment in other sectors or in other countries. So we might say that Malta needs more accountants, whereas Spain has too many accountants, and that such a mobility would make it much, much easier. Malta is a very attractive place for employees, for staff to move, which is a big plus for us, obviously, and for our industry. But there's an encouragement that is taking place at European level to be able to help the mobility of workers across countries, always in the overall interest of less unemployment.
Yes, we talk about migration, but at this level, at the top end of the mm-hmm. educational levels, in actual fact, again, from a little bit of literature that I read through, there isn't actually as much mobility as one might imagine somehow within Europe.
I think it boils down to the human psyche that we tend to prefer our lonely comfort zone rather than face new challenges unnecessarily, perhaps. There is the element of mobility is on the increase at it varies accuracy across the ages, where at student age, you know, within the student age, a young worker is obviously more, there's higher numbers of people moving, whereas once a person establishes themselves in a country, perhaps they have families, they have children, then it's always harder to move for other reasons. But what the European Commission is trying to encourage is that where there is the need for a professional to move and to offer his own or her own service in another country, there should not be administrative restrictions to do so. And that is the spirit within which the encouragement of mobility is mainly directed not only at workers. Workers, there is the need to move because you don't have a job in this country and perhaps there is the need for you to work in another country. But the mobility of students is wider, has a wider concept, a wider flavor to it. The mobility of students focuses also around the possibility of offering a wider horizon to the student, first and foremost, and to widen the edge of his education. At European level, there are studies to indicate that a student who has undergone an Erasmus placement, which is the most common type of mobility for students, they are actually more employable. And drastic higher numbers of employability for students who have undergone Erasmus. The study that was recently presented to one of the committees that I attend is that not only they are more employable, but they reach management status much quicker than other students who might not have undertaken Erasmus mobility placements. Mm. It's a big plus. It's a big plus. And in fact, around the table, I was joking with my colleagues from other member states. And actually, around the table, perhaps out of 30, there were 20 of us who had undertaken an Erasmus placement. And it's a proof of the study. It's an actual proof of how, yes, an Erasmus placement could increase. And there's evidence now to show that it does increase the employment prospect of a student. It's worth saying that a mobility is not only about learning in another member state. That's not only mobility. It's the whole experience. It opens up the possibility for a student to be more independent, to be able to be more decisive, to be more assertive, to be able to approach a new situation completely, to be more resilient, and also to improve in language skills. So I think it's very important. I cannot help not promote mobility for students.
In the last seconds that we have at our disposal, perhaps you could mention the contact numbers or how people should approach you to get information.
Okay. Our website is ncfhe.org.mt. We are on Facebook as the National Commission for Further and Higher Education. They can easily find us there, and then they get the rest of the details, where we are, our location, our email addresses, telephone numbers. I would need to encourage university students to approach their own international office. There's Stefania Fabri within the admin building. If somebody needs more information within MCAS, there's the international office, even at ITS, there's their own international offices. EUPA is the local agency that disseminates funds for education. They're housed in Continental Business Center in Santa Venera. The number is 2-2558-6130. They have quite wide opening hours, normal standard office hours. I would encourage people to approach our CURIC services, which has perhaps a more restrictive time frames between 8 till 12 and 2 till 4 on a Monday, Wednesday and a Friday. So if there's the need to submit an application to the CURIC services, then it's important that they approach our office between 8 and 12 and 2 and 4 on Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays.
Well, thank you very, very much, Ms. Ilka Sarr, CEO of the National Commission for Further and Higher Education, for coming to talk to us about MQF today. Thank you. You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.